March 27th, 2018, it's the Watt Pedro Show.
of absolute safety.
Show, something came up with Brother Matt, and he's yeah, he wasn't at the fucking Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point, so I had to wheel back, got a hold of, I tried to get the free Wi-Fi down at the Cabrillo Beach, but I couldn't, it wouldn't let me, so I had to get all the way back to Pedro and let our guests know that we had a little problem, a little delay, but man, he's a righteous dude, and he's bearing with it. I want to welcome of, Daniel from New Fumes. And in fact, we start off the show with Miles Davis, John Coltrane doing the Fran dance. But right after that, from the new album. Actually, no. I think this is... Yeah. From the new album, Possession. On Radcult, which is Mr. Tom's label. And, very bitchin' music coming out there. Part of the big family. Welcome aboard, Daniel.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Where is here? It ain't Pedro.
Well, I'm in Dallas, Texas.
All right, Dallas, Texas.
In the Dome Home.
Yeah, the Dome Home. Okay.
Yeah.
Remember the first time I played there was with Black Flag, Minuteman, and was called either Twilight Room or AAA Ranch. They changed their name. And it was one of the clubs that Jack Ruby used to
Yeah, Twilight. Twilight sounds familiar.
Well, it had both names, but I can't remember. Okay. And I played in it under both names, but I can't remember the first time. But the loading was stairs that you that they're not straight up, right? They're round. So when you're carrying stuff, yeah, like big steel boxes, yeah, it was terrible. And also on this, I remember too, because it's up on the second story, and there's someone put a hat. I guess there was a building next door, but then it was gone. But the hatch was still there. So if you were new to those parts, be careful. Jesus Christ! I almost had a heart attack. We got off done playing, and I opened that thing up for a breather, and I almost took the fast way down. Daniel, can you tell me your earliest musical memory?
Man, I think it might have been either Puff the Magic Dragon, Peter, Paul, and Mary, maybe.
That version? Okay.
Yeah, I think my mom was a big fan of that. She's always playing that. But I can't remember if it was that. It was kind of all jumbled together. It might be Peter and the Wolf, you know, the symphony.
Yeah, right. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. Yeah, but right, I mean, my memory goes way back. Like,
anyway, it was music in the pad.
Yeah, and then there was Rolling Stones. My dad was really big into the Rolling Stones.
Stones.
And Beach Boys and The Doors, Jimi Hendrix, kind of the classic stuff.
Well, he's probably around the 60s.
Yeah, he was.
Well, I was around the 60s, too. I was more of a boy. But so were they just listeners, or was there instruments?
They were listeners. They were appreciators.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's stuff. Yeah.
It's righteous. I'm just wondering because I'm trying to get to the how you got your start on playing.
I remember wanting to play like really early on, and there's a picture of me I've seen. I don't remember the guitar, but there's a picture of me holding a guitar. I must have been like 3.
Awesome. There was one in the pad.
And I just looked really happy. Like I was at my grandmother's house. I just looked really happy to be holding it.
What about the first record you got? First music?
Man, let me think about that. I had that, you know, I had those records, like Peter and the Wolf and stuff, but my first,
like rock records.
Probably, I don't remember if it was, might have been Prince or ZZ Top or something.
Yeah, they're kind of the same.
Yeah, it was like the same. I think maybe Tattoo You before that. I had Rolling Stones.
Oh,
Tattoo.
That's Rolling Stone. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And can you remember the first gig you went to?
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, right.
I was real bummed because, I mean, I was...
Well, you were a kid. They took you, right? The companion.
I was 3 years old. My mom took me. I remember her telling me that she had a headache or that her head hurt. And I was bummed because they didn't play that Dragon song.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
The very last song.
In those days, I remember that tune that was kind of dangerous because it was supposed to be some kind of metaphor for Motha. Yeah, little Jackie Papers, you know.
Yeah.
In those days, you had to be kind of coy with your words, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe it wasn't about that at all. You know, some people think it was about being young and having to grow up. So.
It probably was about the first thing you said.
Okay. What about at school? Did they have a music program?
Yeah, they did. You know, we had like recorders, those little flute things. I really liked doing that. There was a point where there was going to be an elementary school. They were getting us ready to go into band, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And I really wanted to play trombone or something like the slid or like maybe even tuba or something, but then they were telling me that my mouth wasn't shaped right.
Well, and I heard that those the tuba and the bone, for marching band, it's actually easier because the mouthpiece is so big.
Yeah, I don't know. They were trying to steer me towards the flute, and I wasn't as pumped about that, so I just didn't ever. I never joined the band or anything like that.
Yeah, flute's more about blowing across. It must be hard, too. Yeah, because you got to keep that piece on your lip. That's why I heard from my friends who had marching band. I never had it. I was just curious. So, what about after school, you know, the garage band thing with friends?
Well, I was, I didn't get in my first band until the summer between high school and starting college.
Okay, so you never played in junior high or high? Okay.
No, I mean, I had a guitar in high school.
How'd you get the guitar?
Well, this friend of mine that I hung out with every day, like, she just disappeared for a week. I was like, hey, where have you been at? She's like, I've just been in my garage playing guitar. I got this book, and I've been learning these chords. And then it was just like, my brain was like, I have to do that. Like, I've been wanting to do it my whole life. I just was like, I've got to do that. So she gave me that same book, and I just started, it was like a Mel Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Like, real basic chord books. That was during high school, but I didn't start playing with people until later.
What about writing songs?
Probably right when I started playing guitar.
Wow, so you didn't go through the... I noticed this, that more younger people just start writing songs, because the people from my day, man, we all copied, or tried to, copy fucking records.
Yeah.
It's so much better. Right? You know, maybe try copying, but like 100%. Yeah. I mean, it was bizarre.
I mean,
I had
friends
one dude in our town who wrote his own songs. Not one fucking dude. Not until I met punk people. 76, yeah.
Yeah, I remember in middle school I had friends that had guitars, and they would teach me like Motley Crue licks and stuff. It was all about trying to copy other stuff.
That's the entire 70s experience I had.
Yeah.
Here, I want to play, let me play, this is from your first release. It's called On a Ship Under a Bus. Okay.
You're from the pockets of your sleeves.
LSD דוח מצב. אין דלתות נפתחות, אין דלתות נסגרות, אין דלתות בכלל, אין מעברים, אין מקום אחר, אין צד שני, אין יקום מקביל, יש דם, אין חיים, יש חיים, יש חיים.
I want you to sleep.
Evil Zima, evil Adam, žedný gladný, nie nesme. I na veter, i na slunce, raboty i slobodný sme.
Oh.
For Pedro Show, that was New Fume's first release on a ship under bus. Tell us about that.
On a ship under a bus. That.
Yeah, what's it about? Do you like talking about your songs, like, or is it stupid to do that?
I don't mind if okay. I can remember exactly. It's just years. That was so long ago. I'm just going back to that. That was Yeah, I just remember I was house sitting at my grandmother's house one summer, and I just set up a recording station there and started plugging away. What I do a lot of times is I'll just have like a rhythm or something and I'll just start singing whatever comes to my mind.
Yeah.
And I'll keep most of what just came out, you know, without me writing anything, just whatever flowed out. And, you know, sometimes I'll go back and refine. but it's usually just like whatever the first melody and the first kind of images that come to mind, I'll just sing those and keep them a lot of times.
So the title comes last?
Yeah, usually.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes right at the, like at the beginning.
Yeah, I have to put them at the beginning.
But never really before. whatever words are kind of popping out at me or ideas.
Oh, do the words come later?
A lot of times it's sort of, a lot of times instantly, and then I'll go back and refine them. Yeah, that one, yeah, I think I'd refine that just to have it make sense.
Okay. Yeah. People who do literature, they say, I had to tighten it up.
Yeah.
Okay, then we had a Black Moth Super Rainbow, that brand new release in this town with New Breeze. Then the Brainiacs from back in 1979. Actually, before Minutemen, we were called Reactionaries, and we played with this band, the Brainiacs, at the Suburban Lawns practice pad. Take Me to Paris is a tune. Believe it or not, I played a couple days ago with this young man, maybe 27 years old, skater, surfer, guitar, you know. He's way into Suburban Lawns. I mean, we were playing before this guy was born, and the band had, you could tell some influence. I was blown away. They're called Cat Scan, and this guy David. And also great photographer, Renaissance man. Then we heard Circus Devils, which is a Bob Pollard barrage. Eye Mask of Leaves. Rooster Head out of Inglewood now. They used to be strong. Don't Fry My Mind. Farthest South from Tel Aviv, LSD Status Report. Kodorashki out of Bulgaria with I Want You to Sleep. I just found this from a couple years ago. I first played in Bulgaria a couple gigs. And, you know, people give you music and no wine before it's time, but sorry for a 2-year wait. And now Macedonia Bernays Propaganda with Ziotinska Farma, Zero Debt, Serb guy, but he's living pre-dog. He's living in Sydney. I'm coming in, and Moldoman out of Baltimore with Silo A, and finally Pookie, I think from the same release as the last two, New Fumes. Okay, how did the New Fumes come about?
The title or the entity?
The whole enchilada.
Let's see. Well, I've been recording music for a long time.
Music-wise, you got this acoustic guitar and some chords. So in between that and New Fumes?
Getting a laptop computer.
Okay.
I really started New Fumes right after getting out of the Polyphonic Spree. I was doing Polyphonic Spree touring in 2007.
Did you have like 30 bandmates?
I think there were 29. 29 and a half, there was a band.
I remember that I played with his band. Was it called Tripping Daisy?
Yeah, Tripping Daisy.
Dallas, right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. And then I remember hearing about this big band. And I never got to see, but it sounded interesting. How did you get involved with that?
Well, Tripping Daisy, you know, they were kind of a big deal in Dallas for a while.
Sure.
And I had a band. My very first band I was ever in was called Comet. And we got sort of popular in town. And
Deep Ellum?
Deep Ellum and Austin and stuff. And then we got on a label called Dedicated and all this other stuff, but Tim really liked our band and had us open up some shows. So I always sort of knew him from around town, and really funny dude. But I got involved with them because I was asking for a ride to Colorado to see a sick friend, because I knew that they were on tour.
Yeah.
And they had been playing South by Southwest, and I knew that they were going to go to Denver next, and I was like, hey, can I catch a ride? I'll do some merch or something. And then I didn't hear back. But when they were on their way back from Colorado, they contacted me and said, hey, how about playing guitar for us? Because Annie Clark left the band. And she went on to do St. Vincent.
Sure.
And so they needed someone to take her place. And so I agreed to do...
Man,
a year's worth of touring with him.
That's like a bolt of lightning out of the air.
It really was. Yeah, it was just unexpected.
Can I swing shirts for you?
What's that?
I'm trying to reenact the situation. Can I sling shirts for you? Dead silence.
You're right.
Then, whoa, will you be in the band?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. So after a year of that, then you go into the new few.
Yeah, I went from being in a 29-person band to being a one-man band.
Yeah, solamente.
Yeah, okay. So I just started recording when I got home. I was living with my parents and house-sitting for people, and I started that album in these different living rooms and bedrooms I was house-sitting at.
And not really playing guitar?
Not that much. I was using guitar more like a texture.
Uh-huh.
And less of a songwriting tool and more of a texturizing tool. I started writing songs a little more abstractly instead of like having a song like, here's a song I wrote, I'm going to go record that.
Yeah.
It was more like, here's a sound I have, and sure. I'm gonna loop that and layer that. And
like sculpt, and, paint, and
yeah,
not so much.
Exactly, yeah. I was a painting major in college and stuff. So
Is that right? I didn't know.
I'm approaching it like that, not necessarily on purpose, I think just the way my brain is, maybe sculpting something.
Sure. And so that becomes the. Where'd you get the name?
Oh, New Fumes?
Yeah, was there Old Fumes?
There wasn't Old Fumes, but.
Okay. The
story is like for work, sometimes I work on these photography sets or film sets, like building sets, like building a bedroom in them so they can put beds in it and they can take pictures of it and put it in a catalog or a commercial.
Yeah.
So I was on one of these sets, and all we did for 3 weeks straight was just paint.
Oh, everything, fumes.
Everything white. And I was working with this old hippie dude. I think he had taken a lot of acid back in the day. He just had that vibe. And he had a really high voice. And I looked over at him one day, and he had poured a bunch of paint into a bucket, and he was spraying spray paint into it, and he was pouring turpentine into it, and he just kept pouring different stuff into it, and primer, and he just had this really super high-pitched voice, and he goes, "Woo-wee, there's some new fume shopping here." And he had a little whistle on his S I can't even do. "There's some new fumes up in here." I just thought that was funny.
No, I had Pedro here. I had some house painter friends, and the fumes do get to you.
Yeah, maybe fries a few brain cells. I'm probably in trouble.
Well, you know that guy, what was his name? Bob Ross.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was he died of leukemia kind of young, in his 50s or something. I wonder if it was from pain all the time.
I don't know. I can't remember who it is now. There's a real famous artist that died because he had a habit of dipping his, like he would be painting with oil paint, but then he would dab it on his tongue before he would paint the canvas. So he's just like slowly taking in small amounts of this oil paint.
I heard a story like that. It was when, in the old days, when they had glow-in-the-dark watches. So they painted these motherfucking things with radium. And some of the worker people doing the painting would do that and put the radium on their tongue and, yeah, get cancer.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I guess you got to try it to know not to do it.
Learning by doing. So you spent your time with your recording space and like you were saying in the pads you were in, composing the first album. Did you do any gigs?
Yeah, I started doing gigs what year was that? I think it was 2009. So it was like a year of just kind of recording stuff and working and trying to get back on my feet after touring.
Well, they were like one-man shows?
They were. The first one I did was at a house party, and it was on 9/11. So I kind of had this kind of intense vibe.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was just really fun. Just brought some speakers in there and I'd never done anything like that. It was my first, like, one-man. I'd always been in parts of bands. I'd never been the singer in a band. You know, just always sort of a guitar player guy.
Kind of the sport guy.
Yeah, sort of a... People seemed to like what I was doing with textures and stuff with my guitar.
Okay.
And so they... I'm maybe not the most skilled, like, player, you know, but I can come with some interesting stuff sometimes. But...
Yeah, you know who said that to me? Thurston Moore.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I met him recently.
Same exact thing he said to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I might not be that technical, but I can come up with some interesting stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
I doubt if you guys, like, conferred on that. I think it's a coincidence, but...
Oh, we didn't, but I did recently, just out of nowhere, just someone called me and says, hey, do you want to drive the Thurston Moore group around, pick them up at the airport, and get another gig? So
right, you just had a tour over here, yeah.
Yeah, so I picked them up at the Austin airport and got them at their gigs a few months ago. It was really cool.
Well, thanks for doing that. He's an old buddy of mine. I missed him here because I had to play the same night. But because he's living in England, I see him, you know, if I'm over there or he's on tour. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, March 27, 2018 edition of Wap Pedro Show. We got Daniel from New Fumes. Hold tight for hour two. March 27, 2018 is the second hour of the Wap from Pedro Show.
Of indifference, there's some but it's not me. Face the fact, in the open air, I'm never this outspoken. The Irish Sea, lifting up beauty. Why is it that you cannot feel this love? Poisonous strike, woken from a dream. Nature never dies if you take care. It has been like this for God knows how long. Don't go out the limbs of the ones that got out alive. Thank you.
on you. I never mind the rain from the sky if I can find the sun in your eyes. Sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you, but when I hate you, it's 'cause I love you. That's how I am, so what can I do? I'm happy when I'm with you.
Walk for Pedro show. We start the second hour off with Billy, I'm a Living Animal by New Fumes. I took your name from Holland with From a Dream. Love theme. That's Alex Dirty Beach with a couple Portuguese buddies. All Sky Loves Ann. Sun Ra, of course, Sonny Blount from Birmingham, Alabama. Sometimes I'm Happy. And which is a cover, I think. And then finally, New Fumes, Goodbye Planet. And just finishing up with that first album from the stuff we played last hour. How long did it take you to do that?
The last album?
No, the first one. The first guy.
Oh, the first one? Maybe. One? Probably about a year and a half, maybe.
Okay. So, on and off.
Yeah, on and off.
Yeah, right. And then I heard people off air, we were talking. You had some time playing with the Flaming Lips.
Yeah, a little bit. I was kind of living between Dallas and Oklahoma City for a while. And staying with
I-35.
The studio. So.
I-35.
Yeah, up and down it.
Yeah, man, and people, if you ever done this route, you will see a lot of trees tore up because they get some tornadoes in that area sometimes.
Yeah, I drove, that last big one, I drove right through there pretty much right before it hit. Oh, I was on my way back to Dallas, and I got back to Dallas and I heard the news. Yeah, yeah, those are intense.
They're intense, like camping. And so, but no recording, you just did some gigs with them?
I played some things. I did a 24-hour tour with them where they won the Guinness Book of World Records.
Okay, yeah, right.
But, you know, I played a song or two here and there on some of those shows, and we did, I played some shows with them doing the Yoshimi Battles of Pink Robots
album. Great album.
From start to, well, most of the album from start to finish, like around South by Southwest and some other events, and recorded a bunch of...
Last tour I did, I was in Wales, and the big town is Cardiff. And who did I find there? Cliff.
He's
living there. He's playing with the singer man of the Furry Super Animals.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, isn't that small world? Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So this new album.
Yes.
And what we're playing mostly on the show today. What's the genius? I mean, the first album, of course, was just to do it, to be a new Fume, right? So, what do we call this? The sophomore?
Yeah, I guess it's the sophomore album. I guess it's number two.
So, going into it, did you want to do things different?
I wanted to do things different, but I think things were just going to happen differently, naturally.
Yeah.
Just from natural progression. And, you know, by the time the, you know, I don't know if that happens for you, but sometimes it takes so long to get albums out.
Sure.
By the time it comes out, you're already on to the
next thing, right?
Yeah. So there's a little bit of that.
Yeah, the lag. I remember with the Minutemen, even Punchline, our second record, actually comes out after Joy, which was recorded after it, just because of the lag and the situation. Okay, so
you're actually
working on the second record while the first one ain't even out yet.
Yeah, pretty much the same. As soon as I was done with that first one, I just started recording. I mean, I just didn't even stop.
Yeah.
Just kept recording. And some of that stuff is on the new one. But, like, it'd be basically the new one's over 5 years.
Wow.
So I was doing stuff with the Flaming Lips. I was working in Dallas. I was spending all my free time in Oklahoma City for about 3 years. And I was working on this album, working on another album that I finished called Bird Flower. It's a collaboration album with a friend of mine. And then recorded some cover albums with the Flaming Lips. And
cover out? Oh, you cover other people's songs.
Well, we covered King Crimson's first album from beginning to end with some other friends, like Linear Down.
Recorded Paul, the Crimson King?
Yeah. And then
with the clarinet solo,
yeah, it's all in there.
Here, tell me about this song, Telepathic Lady.
Telepathic Lady. Let's see, that was recorded with a handful of other songs where I just had some time and I just maybe recorded like 5 songs real quick on a 4-track machine. Sometimes in my songs I'll have a few different stories or a few different themes that I'll just sort of truncate everything into one.
Kind of parallel universe.
Yeah, sort of. I'd been through a breakup, but I'd also been some other things I'd been thinking about. Like I was kind of fascinated with this woman named Maria Orsic. Who was this German UFO specialist, I guess you'd call her, during World War II.
And she's the telepathic lady.
She was the telepathic lady.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Yeah. Telepathic lady. Do you know her name?
Maria Orsic.
That's it. Maria Orsic. Okay. And kind of the germination of that tune is her journey through ufology in Nazi Germany. Then we had Unit F with Selective Service. Pretty fitting. And finally, David Gerard. I think they're out of... I think up by Glacelle Park. Or maybe Highland Park. And then David Gerard and Phil Wyman out of Boston area. With Divination. So, you were like... You're doing these cover records with the Flaming Lips. You're doing a collaboration with your buddy. You're doing these albums. You really got hot and heavy with recording.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I was doing. I was driving up and down 35.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got a lot of time in the car.
Going to work, driving back up to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Any free time, I mean, I pretty much gave up whatever social life. My social life was work and being at the studio with people. But, I mean, a lot of this album was recorded between Pink Floor Studio, which is Wayne's studio, sure. And then my dome home where I live. It's a monolithic dome. It has pretty interesting acoustics.
Is it geodesic?
No, it's a monolithic.
Okay, so it's like one sphere.
Yeah, it's just one thick concrete sort of structure.
What's the history of that? How did it come to be?
Well, if you're driving from Dallas to Austin along the highway in Italy, Texas, there's a Monolithic Dome Institute, and a lot of people know it as the giant caterpillar because they put a bunch of domes.
Oh, yeah, I know
those.
Yeah, I've driven by it. I got pictures of it.
Yeah, so that's where they make the inflatable. That caterpillar is where they make the inflatable thing that, I guess, you know, they inflate it and then they spray it with this concrete epoxy stuff and foam and rebar and stuff like that. So they make the inflatable part inside that caterpillar. And this was built in, the one I live in was built in 1997, South Dallas. And they say it'll be here thousands of years. It's fireproof.
They're stronger than geodesic, though.
They are, because the geodesics are made out of
panels.
Wood, and they're a bunch of triangles put together.
Sure. What was his name? Bucky Fuller. Buckminster Fuller.
Yeah.
I went to a giant one. Somebody snuck me in there in, where was it? Somewhere in Louisiana, there's a huge, you know what a turntable is for railroad, so they can switch the tracks?
Yeah, like a turnstile?
Turnstile, that's the word. Big, huge one. And it was under, they made a geodesic dome. It was one of the biggest ones. And snuck me in to see this thing. Man, it was pretty amazing. But so the monolithic dome, if you really want to stand the test of time, that's what you look for, people.
Yeah.
And now, does it have windows?
Yeah, it has windows.
Okay. They cut them into it, right?
Yeah, just it's fireproof, it's earthquake-proof, tornado-proof, hurricane-proof. I don't know why more people in California have filled those fires. Like, just build some monolithic domes. And
yeah. Well, there is some people, there's this place... organization called Cal Earth, and they're building pads in the ground.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, Cal Earth. So they use part of the ground. It's not all the way underground like a...
But they use part of the ground.
Yeah, but they use part of the ground. And, I mean, and you know, a lot of the problem with that fire stuff too, Daniel, is that they build them in canyons where it's hard to get the fire trucks. And, you know, and then you have the problem of the mudslides and the burn, all the stuff because of rains or lack of rains, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of mitigating stuff. People should stop trying to recreate New England and California.
Yeah. Same in Oklahoma. I wish people would build these tornado-proof domes instead of especially. We're going to build these boxes again and watch them get blown over.
Yeah. Especially the ones without foundation or trailer homes, right? They just get blown all over the fucking place.
Right.
Yeah, we're at the end of the second hour. March 27, 2018 edition. Watt Pedro Show. Special guest Daniel. New Fumes. Hold tight for hour three. March 27, 2018 is the third hour. Watt from Pedro Show.
good morning, and we hope you've been enjoying your morning so far last night. Thanks for joining us, but if you're like us, you've probably been here all night. This is Jamie Richardson with our top topic. When does morning become night? When does morning become morning? At what time is day no longer night? We dream of our perfect life as we sleepwalk through the day. We dream our own utopia, but that world is far away. This point to our topic here is far to the train. Please always stay tuned in right here, regardless of how it is. What can we do to escape ourselves from this paralysis? What can we do to keep the movies of a clock and relevant to reality? Are you a sunny dream of vitality or a moonlit night of odious compliance? No, if you're like me, you live. That's a low thought.
and I'll step outside myself into reality, which is all logical. Then I quickly step back into our world, the one others say is common. This is my clarity, not a spell of there. I am content if there is a way in me, if it's that you could possibly see. And it's in you as well, you can see it if you can see it as well. On what is programmed into you, that shit that makes you swell.
Thank you.
Show. We started the third hour off with Driving Natural from New Fumes. Tell us about Driving Natural. Is this driving up I-35 and back?
No, I was driving in my neighborhood and going a little too fast for the cops.
Oh, it's a police story.
Yeah.
Okay.
and my thing was, well, I was just driving naturally, you know. Just was driving how it felt good. I wasn't trying to drive fast or anything. I was just going.
Did they buy it?
No, they gave me a ticket. I bought it, I guess.
You bought it? Yeah. You paid for it.
Yeah, I paid for it.
Okay. Well, that's a trip. It does sound...
It could have many meanings, though, you know, trying to leave it up to the listener.
Daniel,
but that was mine.
Look, that tune's coming up. Actually, I started the third hour off the fucking Invisible Someone. The final block of music's going to have Drive Natural. Oh, blew that one.
Oh,
sorry, people. Okay. So, Invisible Someone. give us a lowdown on that.
All right. Well, there's this guy that used to push a shopping cart around my neighborhood. You could hear him coming a long way. He'd be like, yell at someone. And I'd just observe him. He used to leave. Like, one time he left. Well, he would mostly just, like, smash rocks in front of people's houses.
Wow.
Like, he just, like, take a rock and just, like, it'd just be smashed on their curb.
Yeah.
But then one time he left this, like, oversized, like, pair of Scooby-Doo underwear, like, just full of just the nastiest stuff.
Ooh.
Just in a...
Kind of drop-off.
Yeah, you know, so over the years, I kind of, like, a couple years, I'd watch him. And then I wrote this song. One time after he walked by, I was like, I had the music going. It's like, what am I going to sing about? So then I heard him coming down the street. So and he's in it in the very beginning. You can hear him.
Okay.
If you listen well enough, he's in there, and my dog's kind of rattling around. But then I just kind of like I was like, where does this guy go? Like, he walks down the street, and there's this creek behind my house. Like, does he go there? Is he communicating? Like, what's going on in his head? So I wrote this song. Then I had the idea, like, well, I want to make a video for this song, and I want to get him to be in it and play himself.
Yeah.
So I approached him one day in the street, and this guy kind of looks like Forrest Whitaker, like kind of, like, just really big dude.
Yeah.
And
Crying Game, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I walked up to him, and I said, you ever done any acting? And his response was he just kind of looked at me, and he said, it's not my forte.
Okay, wow.
And just kept walking.
Okay.
And the only thing I'd ever heard him say before just didn't make any sense, and he's yelling at somebody who was, like, walking next to him, or somebody who was pestering him, but nobody could see. But to him, it seemed like there was really somebody there.
Ah, the invisible someone.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we had the Healers out of Illinois with 102 Part 1, The Manic Glow from OC here, Let Me Come Up, Brother Jack. Pajaro Sunrise 086. I can't remember where they're from. That means bird, though, huh? In Spanish, so maybe Spain. Sorry. It's my memory sometimes. Vandal Poets with Negligé, and that's a demo. I can't remember where they're from either. Maybe Ohio. And then New Fuse with Psyche. Or is it Psyche? No, it's Psyche.
Psyche.
Yeah. And are you talking about the Greek goddess? Sorry, the nymph?
No, I wasn't. But okay. I like that, though.
Yeah, it sprung out of the head or something. Zeus, yeah. Or something. Yeah, some of his daughters came out of his head. Yeah. His eyebrow or some shit, you know, some of the stories.
Yeah, true.
But do you want to enlighten a little bit?
About Psyche?
Yeah.
That one is one of those ones I was talking about where it's a few different things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was at a Christmas party, and somehow I touched some LSD on some candy.
Yeah.
I didn't take the LSD, but I was holding it in my hand for a while, unaware, and then had sort of like a microdose experience, I guess.
Yeah, it can go through the skin.
Yeah. So that had happened. There's a few stories about, you know, some people getting naked and at some other parties. It's a few different stories, like, put together to make one sort of message about freedom and...
The mind.
Yeah, the mind.
Yeah, you know, last time I did ale, I'll tell everybody here, it was 1983 at Einstein and Noe Mountain in the desert, but up to that time, from teenager, I did a lot of, and I'm glad I did, because... Yeah, there's something truthful about it. You got to face stuff with it. And I wasn't really at parties with it much because it's too scary. Usually was man alone. And a lot of times what we did, we would buy records. You know, in the old days, you didn't know about these bands. You know, no one wrote about them. So you would just buy them because of the name or the album cover. And then wait to listen to them the first time after eating some ale. So it'd be a total, you didn't know what was coming, right? So it'd be a total crazy ride. But I'm always been glad that I had all those sessions. You know, you look up at the corner of the ceiling, and like, is that corner poking out on me, or am I poking out at it?
Yeah,
we call it like loaves of Wonder Bread, you know. So now we're gonna play this Driving Natural, which I fucked up. We were talking about before.
Thank you. lose my sight for the first time, for the last time, for the only time. Tonight I'll lose my sight for the first time, for the last time, for the only time. Won't be able to see your smile anymore, but I'll still feel your flesh. Press your face, you press your face against mine. Won't be able to see the strings on my guitar, but I'll still hear that sound coming from that hole. Well, I'm not whole, but I am still alive. I feel your breath in between my lips when you stand so close. I feel your breath in between my lips when you stand so close. I feel your breath. I feel your breath. Tonight I lose my sight for the first time, for the last time, for the only time. Tonight I lose my sight for the first time, for the last time, for the only time. Won't be able to see your smile anymore, but I'll still feel your flesh. Press your face against mine. Won't be able to see the strings of my guitar, but I'll still hear that sound coming from that hole. Well, I'm not whole, but I am still alive. Can't look down at my feet, but my feet are still there. Can't look down at my hands, but my hands are still there. I can't read inside your mind, but I know you still care. I can't see inside my soul, was it ever really there? Tonight I'll lose my sight for the first time, for the last time, for the only time. Tonight I'll lose my sight for the first time, for the last time, for the only time.
Thank you. A tree trunk and a horse. The morning sunlight paints your sleeping eyelids, while the blue screen on the TV paints the world that I'm in, and your pale no dream should ever
Watford Pedro Show, final music for this edition. Finally, what you've been waiting for, Driving Natural, New Fumes, Daniel Gets a Speeding Ticket. Did not talk his way out of it, but was honest about it. Then we had Midwestern Medicine Live, version of White Open Field. I think they're actually from Maine, the state of Maine, Portland, Maine. Jonas Williams out of Australia with First Time. This Click from Switzerland, Geneva. Kinez Live. Everyone Dirt is Dirty out of the city here, San Francisco, Running Out. Hefea, La Llorona, Frog Hair. Both these guys are Houston. More Than Sunlight. And finally, New Fumes, Tricked by Rainbows. Smallest Bird versus Raven Monsters. What do you got to say about that guy? Any words of enlightenment regarding the monsters and the
smallest bird? Yeah, meditating on kind of delicate things, fragile things, sometimes can have more power than something that is kind of monstrous, overbearing, forceful thing.
Bogart. Yeah. I'm into that.
Just sort of a feeling in there of that. And sometimes, you know, they say, you know, there's gold at the end of the rainbow, but yeah. It's not, you know, just metaphors in there. It's not always true. And what if the gold actually chased the rainbow instead of the other way around? A few different ideas.
Or what if you put so much gold in your pockets when you fell in the creek, you fucking drowned.
Yeah, man.
Watch out. What's next for the New Fumes and you, Daniel?
I've been recording more stuff. I have videos I'm making.
So life's a little different, not so much commuting?
I'm trying to get less commuting.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I could just... Yeah, I mean, I'd like to tour some more. Just got back from the West Coast.
Oh, were you playing here?
Yeah, I played... Sorry, the name of the venue is escaping me.
But it was somewhere in SoCal. Well, next time, please tell me, please. I'd love to come see you live.
Yeah, I will.
Now, it's a live gig. Is it like... what's that band in England? I really like these guys. Slayford Mods, a Nottingham band. And the one guy hits the space bar. Do you do that?
No, I don't play with the space bar.
Okay.
I mean, it's there for emergencies if I need to stop everything.
Okay.
But, I try to interact. I mean, I have videos that go with things, and there are some tracks going on, but I try to definitely playing guitar over stuff and triggering samples.
Oh, you're wearing
stuff.
A guitar while you're doing it. Okay.
Yeah. I got a lot of pedals and stuff.
You know, Mr. Tom, he's brought guitar into his tobacco thing.
Yeah.
And bass too. Yeah, I saw some gigs where not the whole gig, but sometimes his periods.
Yeah. I did a tour with him playing bass. It was really fun.
Oh, what, you mean that it was like three man with Mo?
With Mo and, yeah. Yeah.
And that drummer...
And Donna.
She's incredible, man. She's one of the best. Man, I would give my eye teeth to get to make... just even rock and roll album, you know, with her. Because she's really something special, man.
Yeah, definitely.
She's very lucky.
Yeah.
Was she playing with a mask on? I don't know how she breathes, but...
she does her thing, for sure.
She's a champ. Yeah. But the way she knows how to hit drums without killing them, she gets good fat tone, man. And she's got bitchin' grooves. You know, you must know people younger than you. Do they ever ask for advice?
On occasion.
What do you tell them, Daniel?
Do it every day. If you really love what you do, do it every day, even if you only have 5 minutes to do it.
Yeah.
That's something I always tell people, because
that's bitching. Yeah.
It's not going to happen if you don't do it.
Don't use it, lose it.
Yeah, and I don't know, don't give up, and don't expect too much either. All right. Don't think, I just recorded this album, I'm going to be rich and famous, and if I'm not, then you know, then boo-hoo. Just keep, you know, if you really love it and you're just going to do it.
Keep on
keeping on.
Yeah. John Fogerty once wrote me a little note after D. Boone got killed. It was a hard time for me.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You just got to keep pushing, keep pushing. That's what I do. And I love your stuff, man, and I want you to keep on. Where can people find you on the internet?
I probably spend most of the time on the Instagram and then send it from there, like to Facebook and Twitter.
Is there a New Fume site or something?
There's a website. I don't spend a lot of time. I probably just need to spend more time updating it. But I just, at New Fumes, pretty much everything. Okay. New Fumes.
People check it out because this guy's bitching. Daniel, I want to fucking thank you so much for being on board, truly.
Man, thank you. It's an honor.
Too bad Brother Matt couldn't join us. But next time, when this new record comes out, we'll talk again, okay? We'll talk about the experience.
Excellent, man.
Okay. Bitching. Yeah. Like we agreed to do. Keep on keeping on, right? People, it's been the March 27, 2018 edition of Wild Pedro Show. Special guest Daniel from New Fumes. Keep your powder dry.